the book of Genesis, chapter number 43. The book of Genesis, chapter number 43. I'm actually going to read a few verses in 42 as well. This week, the Lord began to deal with me about a man named Jacob. I really believe with all my heart I was going to get to preach on Ruth again. But the Lord has dealt with me about Jacob this week. We remember the story of Jacob, just to give you a little bit of a refresher. I don't want to take for granted that every one of us knows the story of Jacob. But Jacob has got 10 sons. Well, he's actually got 12. But 10 of them hate one of them really badly. And the 10 of them begin to go out and connive and try to come up with a way that they can get rid of their brother Joseph, because they hate his guts. He seems that he's the daddy's favorite. And so they take their brother and throw him in a pit, and they sell him off into slavery. Well, finally, the brothers, they go home, and they take their brother's coat, dip it in animal blood, and show that to their daddy. And they tell their daddy, basically misleading him, that their brother has been killed by a wild animal, when in all actuality, he's gone into Egypt, down into slavery. But the Bible tells us that the Lord was with him. And even though he's in slavery, God's raising Joseph up. A couple different times that Joseph had to serve in a prison cell, but nonetheless, God brought him up and out of that as well. As God would have it, he raised Joseph up to be second in command in all the land of Egypt. And finally, there comes a great famine into the land, all across Israel and in Egypt. And you know the story, how that Jacob had to send his 10 boys down to buy corn in Egypt. And when they got there, they had to bow before their brother Joseph, not recognizing him, but he recognizing them. And he begins to call them spies. Well, they begin to take, just to have a little problem with him calling them spies. They said, listen, we're true men. We've got an honest report. One of our brothers is dead. And that was a lie. And we have a little brother that's left back at home. Well, Joseph says, okay, for your brother's left back home, if you're really men, I want you to go get that boy and bring him home. Bring him back down here to Egypt. And to make sure that you're going to do that, I'm going to take Simeon, and I'm going to arrest him, and I'm going to keep him here until you come back. Well, the boys say, very well, we'll go back home and get Benjamin and come back. And as they start to leave, they've bought their corn, they're on their way home, and we find that as they stop in a place and open up their sacks that are filled up with corn, they find their money laying back in the top of that sack, because Joseph, as their brother, has saw fit to give them that corn for free and give them their money back. They're shocked. They do not know that Joseph is really their brother. They don't know who that man down there is, but they think there's going to be trouble. I want to pick up that story right there in Genesis chapter 42, and I want to begin reading in verse number 27, and I'm going to ask you to stand with us this morning. Genesis 42, verse number 27, and we'll get into chapter 43. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man, who is the lord of the land, spoke roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that you are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Chapter 43, verse 1. And the famine was sore in the land. Now the similarities that I struck this morning, it's occurred to me all week. Last week, Elimelech and Naomi, Mahlon and Chilion moved out of Bethlehem, Judah, down to the land of Moab because of a famine. And I really didn't, as I was studying this week, try to pick up on the word famine and just continue it on. But it's what God wants me to bring today. There was a famine sore in the land. This morning for a little while, I want to preach on this thought. Three responses to living with the will of God. I'm going to say that again so you'll get it. Three responses in this text. Three responses found in living with the will of God. Father, I pray that you would help us to have hearing ears today to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. God, I pray that you would help someone today that is in a dire situation, maybe a famine, a dark place, a dry place in their life. God, I pray that you would help us today to preach in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God and by the Holy Spirit of God to this thy people. Help us to understand, we pray. Help us, Father, that we'd speak the words that you would have us to speak from heaven, where we could paint a picture in someone's mind and they can see their situation and receive help from God. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Before I give our first response, I want you to realize that God has a will for our lives. Amen. And we should do the very best we can in trying to live in the will of God. But I am not preaching to you living in the will of God. I feel led to preach to you today on this thought, living with the will of God. You see, there are times in my life that God gives me a choice. I can say yes, I can say no. And there are times in your life, if you think about it, that God has given you a choice about what to do. But there are times in my life that I have no choice, where He just works His will in my life, and that's it. And I have to learn to live with the will of God. Now, some of you are ready to cut me off to say, I believe God always gives you a choice. I don't believe, preacher, that you're telling me that I have to live with the will of God. Well, I want to say as an illustration, God spoke to a man named Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to leave your homeland of earth. And I want you to go out into a land which I show you, which will be the promised land. Abraham got up and he went out and did that. And I cannot find anywhere in the scriptures where he cried tears or wept about having to leave his homeland. In Genesis chapter number 22, I remember where Abraham was told, Take thou thy son, thy only son, Isaac, and offer him upon the mount which I show you. Abraham followed the Lord in that thing and got that boy and went up on that mountain. I cannot find, and neither will you, where Abraham shed one tear about going up on that mountain and offering that boy, knowing that the Lord did stop him. But when his wife Sarah died in Genesis chapter number 23, they came down there to Kirjath Arba. And when he got down there, he said, I'm going to mourn and I'm going to weep over her. What about that? He did not weep when he left his homeland. He did not weep when he's going to sacrifice his son. But he wept over the death of his wife. What is the difference between weeping and not weeping, shedding tears and not shedding tears? What is the difference? I'll tell you what it is. When Abraham was told to leave home, he had a choice. He could go, say yes, or he could stay and say no.
When he was told to go up on the mountain with the boy and sacrifice him, he could say, yes, I'll go, or no, I won't. But when Sarah died, he had no choice in the matter. He just had to live with the will of God that was already worked and set up in his life. Well, the preacher, I think he loved Sarah more. No, it was not because he loved Sarah more. It was because the will of God was working in his life and he was trying to live with the will of God. Sometimes God works things in our lives that are difficult things and we have no choice in the matter. Now there is a difference. Brother Meyer said this, there is a difference between doing the will of God and suffering the will of God. As we learn to deal with the will of God, we're going to have to learn this morning how to live and bring Him glory with the will of God being worked in our life. It may be what you do not want. Now, Jacob, we find in these verses, is in one of these places where he must live with the will of God. If he does not live with the will of God, his family is going to die. If he does not send his boy Benjamin down to Egypt with the rest of the brothers, his family is literally going to starve to death. And guess who's behind all this? God Almighty is orchestrating and working everything out to spare and save Israel and bring God glory. You may feel like this morning that someone has dealt you a bad blow and you're hurting very badly and you're upset about it. But you hear what I'm telling you this morning. God, being behind all of this, is trying to work some things in your life. I want to ask you, how are you going to respond to the will of God in your life this morning? How are you going to live with that will of God? First of all, I note that Jacob resisted the will of God. Look with me in chapter 42 and in verse number 38 as he resists the will of God. Look what he said. He said, "My son shall not go down with you." He's not going. Now, God has worked this out where that boy has got to go. But Jacob says, he's not going. I am going to resist the will of God. Now, you hear what I'm going to tell you this morning. You bowing up on God in the middle of a famine and saying, I ain't going to do it, will not make the corn grow. It will not make the famine go away. It will not make the clouds come in and the rains come down. You saying no to God will not change the circumstances. Now you hear what I'm going to tell you this morning. It just very well may be the will of God for you to face the adverse winds that are in your face. A few weeks ago, he had me preach a message on the winds of adversity and sailing into them. And there's someone here in this building today, under the sound of my voice or by way of tape, CD, or on the internet, you're right in the middle of the adverse winds blowing in your face. And you say, this could not be God. There's no way. But God has allowed these things to come to get your attention and to show you that He is the God of the storm and He can get you through. He's orchestrating all these events and He's trying to teach you not only to live in the will of God, but to live with the will of God. It may be a rough ride, but God will get you through. Now, why would anybody resist the will of God? Well, I'll tell you, first of all, why he resisted the will of God. There is too much grief in the will of God. Too much woe, too much suffering. I'll live with the will of God as long as it don't hurt me. Now we see where it begins to hurt him in verse 36, where he said, "Me have ye bereaved of my children." Bereaved means to snatch away. What he's saying is, I have been bereaved. Someone is taking all that is good in my life away from me. Joseph has already been taken away, and now Benjamin as well, and Simeon's trapped down there in Egypt. I'm telling you what, there's too much woe, there's too much grief, there's too much sorrow that I'm having to deal with. You hear what I'm telling you this morning? When you live with the will of God, it may not be what makes you feel great and wonderful. It may bring you tears. It may bring you heartache and sorrow. But I promise you, resisting the will of God will not be in your best interest. Not only was there too much grief for him, but he also saw too little good. Look at this statement he says again in verse number 36. He says, "Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." That word all, it includes everything. He says, all these things are against me. There is nothing in the will of God that I see that's good for me. Everything is against me. Hey, somebody in this building, you feel like everything is against you. The church is against you. The preacher preaching that message is against you. The things that's working in your life is against you. Where it is you're working, the problems you're having, it is against you. It's just all against me. And you're just to the point. If you've not already mailed out the invitations to your pity party, you're getting ready to mail them. You're just about ready to give up, and you're just about ready to have a good old pity party and cry yourself to sleep. But you hear what I'm going to tell you? When he says, all these things are against me, we do remember Romans 8:28 where it says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Hey, he didn't say all things were good, but that all things would work together for good. Well, with the exception of probably one person in this building today, one person I found out about, but I don't like to eat flour by itself. It's nasty. And I don't like to eat lard by itself. It's terrible. I don't even like buttermilk by itself. It's pitiful. But you take those three things and put them all together, and they make wonderful biscuits.
Amen.
And I hope we'll have some after a while. But I did find out a few Sundays ago, I made that statement, that one Mr. Dustin Staten, loves to eat flour all by itself. They've got pictures of him at home where he had flour all over him. He loves it. Y'all pray for him. We're going to try to teach him better. But it does say that all these things, every bit of this is against me. And there's somebody in this building today. You said, preacher, it's all against me. Your problem is you don't see any good in it. Thirdly, in this same verse, we see another. Not only is there too much grief and too little good, but he cannot see God. Look what he says. Me have ye bereaved of my children. You know what he says? Ye. Me have ye bereaved. You know who he's blaming for his problems? He says, you boys, when you went to Egypt, you had to open your big mouth and tell him you had a little brother. If you hadn't told him, nothing would have ever came up. And it's your fault that Simeon's gone. And it's probably your fault that Joseph is gone, because after all, he was sent to check on you boys, and he's gone. It's your fault, your fault, your fault. And is it not amazing in our life when times get tough and trials come up that we don't want to see God in the situation? We always look to blame somebody else. I tell you what, I've been sick and the preacher ain't come. It's the preacher's fault. Preacher didn't make you sick.
Come on.
I'm sick of the preacher. Well, glory to God, we'll pray for you. But you know what I'll tell you today? When sickness comes, could it just be that God is setting things up and working things and hemming you in where it's just Him and you? And He's trying to show you to live with the will of God. Well, I just refuse to believe that it's God's will for me to be sick. Okay. Resist it. I don't like it. Everything's against me. I got a headache, a stomach ache, my back hurts, I'm tired of everything. Well, go ahead and resist it. Do you feel better now? No, I don't. I want to tell somebody about it. Hey, I've been sick. Y'all, where y'all been? I'm trying to get your attention. Is that going to help you feel better? Did that change your headache? Did that fix your stomach ache? That didn't make you feel that better, did it? In fact, tell you the truth, it only really made you feel worse because now you've embarrassed yourself. Jacob, all he sees is what his boys did to him. You know what? You can't see God work in your life because you can't see past the people that's in front of you. So all you want to see is the people in front of you. And that's a lot of problems with most of our churches. If you're looking at who's in front of you and who's beside you, and you need to be looking at the will of God working in your life. Well, I'm facing this, he says, because of you boys. Well, you know what it is? It ain't nobody's fault. You might as well just know that it's the will of God working in your life. And I want you to understand something. You can get mad because you have the disease or because you've got the problem. You can get mad at the church. You can get mad at your friends. You can get mad at your family. Go ahead and get the pooch lip and pout. Pout it out. Go ahead. That's fine. But in the long run, the only one that's really going to help you is God. And it was He that brought you to that place. Well, I don't like how this is all lining up. There's nothing good for me. Tough. Live with the will of God. Number one, you can resist. Won't do you any good. But go ahead. Try it. Why, most of you's laughing right now because you have tried it. I don't like it. I ain't gonna. What can you do when death comes to your family? Well, I'm mad about it. Well, are you going to change it? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to protest. Get you a white flag. Run around. But you ain't going to bring them back. You wouldn't want to bring them back if they went to glory.
Amen.
That's the will of God, friend. Being worked and executed in their life. We've got to learn to live with the will of God. All right, second of all, second response. We find this response, this second response, right here in chapter number 43. You hear me? When he resisted, verse 1, and the famine was sore in the land. Yeah, but Jacob's resisted. But the famine is sore in the land. But Jacob's don't like it. Jacob's upset. But the famine was sore in the land. Did not change it. Second of all, you can be resigned to it. Now, for most people, the word resignation or the word resign means, well, I'll just endure it. I'll just get through it. And as you do, you sit there and what's wrong with him? Well, he's just resigned to the storm in his life. And that's the way a lot of you look when I'm preaching to you. No wonder I don't do well sometimes. You had to see what I say. Oh, yeah, Kim. He's resigned to it. But as he's resigned to it, it does not mean he's just going to painfully endure it. He's going to sit through it and get through it the best he can. He says, but as I'm resigned to it, I'm going to accept it and I'm going to do something in the middle of it. What's he going to do as he's resigned to it? Well, he realized there's no way to change the will of God in my life. There's no way to change the famine. So I'm going to accept it and I'm going to do something. I'm not just going to sit here. Look with me in verse number 8. And Judah said unto Israel his father. Israel is Jacob. Chapter 43, verse 8. Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die. Both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. He said, you know what? We're sitting here starving to death. We should have already been down there. But you resisted. We lingered. We're delayed. And we're starving to death. Because you resisted. He said, if you hadn't resisted, we'd already been back with more food. Supplies would have already come in had you not resisted.
Amen.
Hello? Nobody helps me. He wants to if you'd quit resisting the help. So I want you to see here that he says, surely now we've returned this second time. And their father Israel, that's Jacob, their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, if it must be so now, he's resigned to it, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry them, and carry down to man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. You know what he says? When you go, I want you to take that man down there who's really Joseph the brother, says, I want you to take him a present. I want you to take him a gift, a little balm, a little honey. Now, ain't it amazing? They're in a famine. They're literally starving to death and they have no corn. They're in bad shape. But Jacob says, when I look around, we have a little honey. We're not totally bankrupt here. We're not totally without a few blessings around us. I want you to take a little honey. I want you to take a little balm. And I don't want you to take some spices, myrrh, nothing. I want you to take that down there to him. Hey, in the most difficult famine, the most difficult trial of your life, would you just stop and say, Lord, this may really be the will of God in my life. And if it is, I'm going to accept it for what it is. And I'm going to start looking around in it. I'm hurting. It's tough. But if you'll start looking around, you'll start seeing some good things. I'm still saved. I've still got friends. I've still got the Word of God. I've still got Jesus. I've still got a roof over my head. I've still got a car that I can get out and drive. I look around. I've still got a few blessings to be thankful for. I say, Jacob said, I want you to take a little sweetness down there. I want to ask somebody in this building, you're trying to cope with the will of God in your life. Why don't you look around and say, boy, there's a few things we can rejoice about. It may not be a lot, but there's a little, amen, that we can be thankful for in the time of this trial. That'll help you right there. Not only that, but he says, verse 12, and take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Now, did you see that? Have you watched the news lately? Anybody? You seen the news? We are in a bad state financially in America. It's a bad economy. They've said it might be a depression. Similar like the 1920s and the 30s. What they said. Y'all are looking at me funny like y'all ain't heard that. I watched the news the other day. Things is on a downturn. And everybody's saying, we're going to have to cut back. We're going to have to cut back. Jacob is in a bad crisis. There's a famine in the land. And he didn't say, I'm going to have to cut back, boys. He said, you take double money. He said, it may be that we're going to have to double up here a little bit. Now, I got to thinking about that. When you face a trial, what's the first thing you want to do? Quit. Tell you what, I quit. I'm going to have to cut back. I used to go to that church 3 times a week, but I'm going to start going maybe just once in a while. I think I'm going to have to cut back in my Sunday school class. Times is getting tough, and I think I'm going to quit. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to hang it up. You know, I'm going to quit coming on Wednesday night. Yep. I mean, God's working all this out in my life. Okay, if it's Him, I'll just show Him. I think I'm just going to cut back. I'm going to quit praying like I used to pray. There ain't no better time to pray than when you're in trouble. And you think now you're in trouble, you're going to quit? You're going to cut back? I'm going to quit coming to church. I'm going to quit reading my Bible. I'm going to quit praying. I'm just going to quit serving. Jacob says, boys, I tell you what we're going to do. Not are we going to take some sweetness down there, but we're going to take some service. We're going to double up. Glory to God, I hope somebody comes and asks me after the service is over today, preacher, can we have church on Wednesday morning too? Have it 7 o'clock Wednesday night? What about 10 o'clock Wednesday morning? Let's double up our service. Times is tough. We need it, preacher. Let's double up. Your word death, I'm going to say double up on your giving, ain't you? You word it, you're looking at it like, oh gosh, here it comes. Hey, That's not. Double up on your service to the Lord. You ought to be twice as faithful to pray as you ever was. Twice as faithful to pray. When you get in trouble, that ought to drive you to the corn. Well, you ain't get it. I'm worried about you. Look with me in verse 13. Take also your brother and arise. Go again unto the man. Now, what did he say about that boy before? My son shall not go. But on the other side of this thing, as he starts seeing if it is the will of God in his life, and there's nothing he can do to change it, he says, you know what? Take your brother. Just go ahead and take him. That's surrender. Why don't you just go ahead and say, God, I surrender. I'm not going to say no anymore. I'm not going to fight the will of God anymore. I'm not going to lay down and quit either. I'm just going to surrender, and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to double up in my service. I'm going to learn to be sweeter. I'm going to find some good things in this trial, and I'm going to praise you for it. And I'm just going to go ahead and surrender my life to you even more than I ever did. And verse 14, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man. Did you see that? It always been take, take, take. Now he says give. God Almighty give you. You know what you need to go? You know what you need to do when you're in the trial and the famine, the storm? You need to take God with you. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll always be there with you and always be there for you. And you need to make sure, amen, that you take some sovereignty with you everywhere you go. What can you do? You can resist. It won't turn out good. You can be resigned to it and look around and see some blessings in it. Last of all, look in chapter 45. In chapter 45, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. He wept much. He told them, I'm your brother. They were afraid. He said, listen, this was God at work. It was the will of God here that saved you and spared you. And is my father Jacob still alive? Yes. Is he well? Yes. Would you go back and get him? I'm going to send wagons for him. Look with me in verse number 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Don't get discouraged. Don't lay down and quit. Go back and tell my father about the goodness of the land down here. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. He said, you know what? I've been in such a difficult place. That's just too good to be true. God begins to come through and say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you out. Somebody's got financial trouble and a check's going to come for $1,000 this week to help you. You're just going to throw it back in and say, it's too good to be true. I don't believe it. Somebody's going to come get in the pulpit and say, hey, there's hope for you in the trial. And you just say, put it back in the mailbox. It's just too good to be true. God don't love me. There's no way God's going to help me. Just it's too good to be true, preacher. I don't want to hear what you got to say. But you hear what I'm going to tell you. When they came back and told their father, he did not believe it. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. He saw all the blessings and provisions. He's in the most dark, difficult trial of his life. He just looked back and said, look at all the answered prayers and all the blessings. It must be true that Joseph is alive. Hey, you know what? Joseph is the type of Jesus. You hear what I'm going to tell you today? Jesus is alive and well, and He knows all about your famine. He knows all about your problems. And if you just rub the white flag of surrender and get resigned in it, amen, you can look back and see the blessings of God come through and bring you out of it. Look what He said. And Israel said, it is enough. Drop the gavel. I don't need to see any more. Glory to God, it's good enough. You know what He did, number three? He rested in the will of God. He just said, boy, it was good for me to be here. This tough time was bad, but it sure was good. Hey, man, you know what? If you can get on the other side and look back and say, boy, some of you can think about some difficult places you went through. I mean, some of you went through a bitter divorce. You went through all kinds of financial troubles. Lost your job. Things didn't turn out too good. You were ready to give up and quit. But now that you're on the other side of that thing, you look back and say, you know what? That wasn't so bad after all. God really wasn't.
was taking care of me and all that. Look what He's worked. Look at all He's given me now. I'd never have all this had I not went through all that. But now there's somebody right now that you're not on this side of the trial. You're still on that other side. That difficulty. That wind of adversity. That problem that you face. Healing's not come to your body. Preacher, I'm waiting for healing. If I don't get healing, listen, you know what He said? My grace is sufficient for you. Even if healing don't come, just go ahead and bear it for the glory of God. Well, Jacob saw all those things and he said, Lord, good enough. You're more than enough, Lord. You're all I need, Lord. You're blessed. You've been so good to me. If you never did anything else for me, Lord, you've been enough. Whoopee! Well, do we really have to wait till we get to heaven one day? Or till we get to the other side of the trial to be able to live with the will of God? The verse of Scripture that says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Might be somebody that say, preacher, I'm not on the other side of that trial yet where healing has come. But preacher, I'm still on this side waiting for deliverance. Waiting for help to come. And I've been resisting. But I need to learn to be resigned to it. And Lord, I want to rest today in the will of God. Do you know what? You can by faith come and say, God, I surrender. I believe You really do know what You're doing. And I want You to know that in my life. I've complained enough and I've whined so much about it. And I want to go down that altar and I want to say, God, I'm going to rest in the will of God and I'm going to rest with the will of God. Lord, I surrender right here. And by faith, I'm going to come and say, Lord, You're more than enough. You've been enough the whole time. And today, Lord, I'm coming just to tell You that. Hey, I want to ask you a question. How have you handled the will of God? How have you lived with the will of God being executed in your life? Well, preacher, ain't got nothing to do with me. Things are good. Listen, I've sat where you sit. I've sat and heard the preacher pour his heart out and you didn't have a care or a trouble in the world and it went one ear and went out right out the other. And in just a few days, trouble come. And you went back and got your Bible and said, now what was it that preacher said? What was it that preacher said? And I said, I knew I should have went to that altar. I knew I should have went to that altar and said, oh God, help me remember this. Oh God, help me through this. Lord, I want to learn to handle the will of God working in my life and live with it to bring You glory and honor and not be frustrated and complaining all the time. Now, I realize I've been long in preaching. But I believe with all my heart in this building are some folks, if the truth be known, when you look at your situation, you've basically been hemmed in by the will of God. He's got you in the corner. There's no way out. You're just going to have to face it. Are you going to resist? Are you going to be resigned to it? Are you going to rest in it? That all depends on what you're going to do today. You stand to your feet. I want someone to come to instruments this morning, and this is not going to be a long invitation, I promise you. But you're here, and only you know about the place that you've been hemmed into. I can think about my wife and I. We've been hemmed in by this disease that God has given her. God has allowed that to come. We've been hemmed in with it. You can fight it, it won't change it. Best thing you'll do is just bow down to God and say, God, I'm going to look for some sweetness in it. Lord, right now I'm going to look for some sovereignty in it. Lord, I'm going to serve You in it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve You in it. Hey, somebody needs to come to this altar. Would you come this morning? You don't need to look around like the devil says, look, it could be better, it could be better. So-and-so's doing good and you're not. Why don't you just come say, God, You've been enough. And the devil's a liar. And I want to serve You in this, Lord. If this is the will of God for me, and it must be,
that I surrender to the will of God. I do no longer resist. Would you come this morning? Our fathers, we bow in your presence. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us this morning within our hearing to hear the Spirit of God speak to our hearts about our situation. God, we're in a bad place right now. Lord, we've been in it for a while. God, we've come to say, Lord, we've resisted. Yes, Lord, we have. And we were wrong the very first time we did it, much less to allow it to continue. And God, you've spoke to our hearts today. And I pray, God, you'd help us to be resigned to it. We surrender to the will of God. But in it, Father, we're not just going to sit around and wait for our circumstances to change. No, we're going to serve you in the problem. We're going to serve you in the storm. Because you're our help. You're our refuge. You're the one we trust. So, Lord, we look around and we see blessings. Oh, we see blessings. We see love. And we see joy. And we see mercy. We see friends. We see fellowship. We see you, Lord, today. And God, we thank you for that. So God, we're not going to quit. But we're going to double up on our reading. We're going to double up on our study. We're going to double up on our prayer time, oh God. We want today, Lord, to just experience more of you in this time. And God, I want to say today, Lord, it's enough. Not let me go. But God, say this to you, Lord. You've been more than enough all the way. God, you've been good enough. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us today. And God, we rest in you today. We rest in the will of God. And we rest with the will of God. Lord, we're learning to live with the will of God in our lives. And we thank you for how you're teaching us and training us. But tomorrow there'll be a new battle. And then by this afternoon there may be another problem. Help us, God, to cope. Help us, Lord, to realize when the famine comes, not just to quit, God, but to come to you and serve you in it. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.